All right, so we're in a series on these questions of why. And I've told you, if you've been here, that oftentimes the church has been afraid for people to ask why. We were scared of people questioning things. But as I've told you, as long as we question and we bring our questions to God, then that's appropriate. And there are things that we can glean from God. There are things that we can learn that we would not have learned had we not begun to ask some of those questions. And so it doesn't matter. We can ask the most difficult questions. Last week, we talked about why do bad things happen? And if we take that question to God, He's more than able and willing to talk to us about it. And so today, we're going to take up this subject of why is God sometimes silent? It was interesting that as I was praying and studying over this message this week, I ran into a couple of people who were dealing with the silence of God, and they're in the room, and I promise I didn't preach this message just to you, okay? I already had it in the works, okay? But it does point to this, that it's something that I believe all believers have gone through. I don't know that I've ever met, I was just thinking this morning, I don't know that I have ever met a believer that has looked at me and said, Kevin, I have never been at a place where God has been seemingly silent. God always talks to me all the time. I always know His plan for everything. I haven't met that person. If you're in the room, I really want to have lunch with you after the service. I'll buy your lunch, okay? I think that's amazing, you know? Most of us have experienced these times where it feels as though God is silent. That can be unnerving, can it? Now, some of us are thinking about that in terms of believers who are used to hearing the voice of God, and so that can be unnerving. But I imagine that there are people in the room that would also say, I don't know if I've ever heard the voice of God. Now imagine how unnerving that is, how difficult it is to believe in a God that you've never heard Him speak. Now, we probably have to go back and at least qualify that to some extent by what do I mean when I say hearing God? So, for a moment, help me out. There are ways that we hear God. Now, as believers, I'm going to ask you to help answer this question for maybe somebody in the room who really doesn't understand if they can hear God or not. So, what are the ways that we hear God? Somebody give me a way. In His Word. That's the best way, right? I mean, that's a perfect way. His Word is perfect. And so, as we read His Word, we find out His intentions. We find out His heart for things, and He speaks to us through the Word. How else does He speak? Good. Okay. He will speak through the circumstances and the situations in our life. Nobody's ever had that happen, have they? Oh, I see somebody rolling your eyes. You're like, oh, Lord, yes, I know. Yes. Oh. Okay. So we got the Word. We've got circumstances. How else does God speak? Through others. Yeah. So He will use those around us to speak and to make clear. Yeah. What else? Good. I was wondering if we were going to get there. Thank you, Joyce. Man, I needed that one bad. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, which is really leading and guiding that whole thing. You can read the Word, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you won't really glean much from it because it's the Holy Spirit that makes it come alive. And so He makes the Word come alive. He takes those and He leads people in our lives to tell us the right thing at the right time. He helps us to interpret our circumstances. And then that still small voice, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's that one that you sometimes question. You're like, is that God? Or is that me? Or is that Satan? Because it could be either one, right? Yeah, we know, right? You know that there's voice. There's that little thought process going on in your head. You're like, it could be me, just me. It could be Satan. It's interesting that most people will say that they've heard Satan, but will struggle to hear God. Yeah. So is it me? Is it Satan? Is it God? And often it's that real quiet, it comes, it sings from this deep place within us. So yeah, those are the ways in which we hear, some of the major ways. But let's get back to this thing of silence, because David, he wrote in the Psalms on several occasions, he's like, God, where are you? You know, God, have you forsaken me? What's going on? And you can almost picture God, David in this situation where he's like, oh man, this is unnerving. You know, what is going on? And so I want to prepare us today to understand whenever we go through these moments of silence, what is God up to? And what are some things that we can do in order to help lead us through those moments that seem silent. You up for the challenge? All right. Well, the praise team already started preaching the message for me. So the first one is this. You have to know that silence is not absence. You hear me? Silence does not equate to absence. Because if you're a believer, guess what? You will never be alone again. You hear me? The believer will never go through any circumstance or any situation in which they could truthfully say that they're alone, because you will never be alone. God is always going to be with you. And so this thing of when it gets silent and it feels like you're alone, do you know what it is? It's an illusion. It's not the truth. It's a lie from the enemy, but it's not the truth, because as a believer, you will never spend another waking moment. You will never take another breath that you could truly say that you're alone, because you'll never be alone again. Look at what it says. Hebrews 13:5. You may want to write a few of these down. I'm going to move through them fairly quickly. But Hebrews 13:5 says this. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do you hear that? And he's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, where God in the Old Testament said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So you have both Old Testament and New Testament coming together in harmony and saying, child, you'll never be alone. You may not hear my voice, but you will never be alone. In Matthew 28:20, this is where Jesus is leaving instructions for his disciples to go out into the world and do this thing that's been going on ever since, which is people are reaching those and helping them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then that person is helping another person receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And just right there, I've been waiting for an opportunity. Maybe this is it. I just want to thank those of you who have been almost like the friend of the one who could not get to Jesus, that you have been those that have gone and you have gathered up your friends and you've gathered up your relatives and you have brought them to church. You have brought them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. When I look out, I see some folks, I'm like, oh, you know what? They're here because they brought them. And they're here because this person brought them. That thing that Jesus established with his disciples has been going on ever since then. But here's the promise that he made when he said to go and make disciples. He said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world, the end of the age. I'm going to be with you as long as the world exists. I will be with you. And then I want to spend a little bit, because I'm going to come back to this one. John 14. Turn with me there. John 14, verse 16. It's critical that you not mistake silence for absence. So in John 14, 16, it says this, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you, how long? Forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him, because He abides with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. That brings me great comfort. A Christian is never orphaned. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And so we know what happened is that Jesus went away. He brought the Holy Spirit, came, and has been poured out in the hearts of every believer. And He's resident inside of you. Have I made the point? You are not alone, and you never will be. He is always going to be with you. So now once we've cleared that up, then we need to move into maybe some questions that you can ask as you're going through situations where God seems to be silent. And I want to take up this one. Are you carrying a word to completion? Did you hear that? Are you carrying a word to completion? Now here's a quiz for you, all right? What is the first words uttered out of God's mouth in Scripture that's recorded? Let there be light. First words uttered out of God's mouth, recorded in Scripture, let there be light. Now, what happened at that moment? When God spoke, bam, there's light. And light is superior to darkness, is it not? And so wherever there is light, it pierces through the darkness. And so that word that was spoken by God is still active today. You ever thought about that? That word is still active. Light is still piercing through darkness. Light is still transforming society. And then I think about these words that God has spoken over my life. Have you ever heard the love of God spoken into your heart? I hope it's salvation that happened. That'd be critical, right? Is that at that moment of salvation, God spoke these words of love into your life. And now, those words did not stop there. You see, God's words have life. They carry. They have power. And so you're still living off of that word of love. I'm still living off of this word of acceptance. When I finally got that God accepted me, it is a word that has carried in my heart ever since that day that I got it, that I'm accepted by Him. Words of forgiveness when there are times that I mess up. And some of you are probably thinking that when you mess up, that's the part when God leaves you. That's not the part when God leaves you. Do you understand that? Do you hear me, child? When you mess up, God does not leave you. God sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that Hebrews would be true, which says when you are in need, what does it tell you to do? Approach the what? The throne of grace. How do you do it? With confidence. What do you get? It says mercy and grace. Let me tell you how you can become a 10-foot tall bulletproof Christian. It's when you realize that sin does not separate you from God, and instead sin drives you to God. You'll be 10-foot tall and bulletproof. Satan can't do anything with you, because when it's going good, what do? You run to God and you praise Him. When you mess up, what do? You run to God for mercy and grace. And Satan looks back and is like, good gracious, everything I do seems to run them to God. It's like everything I do. If it's good, they run to God. If it's bad, they run to God. Now, who's the only one getting messed up and tripped up in this situation? The person who thinks, when I mess up, God is judge, and so He leaves me. That is not your circumstance, child. That's not your situation. And so those words are being carried out in our hearts. And then sometimes a word is being carried out of our heart, and it's like potatoes. Anybody ever grown potatoes? You put potatoes in the ground, and then what do? You wait. You wait. And you really are curious as to whether or not anything in the world is going on in the ground, right? And your tendency would be, I would love to dig them up and just see if there's anything growing. But what happens if you just keep messing with potatoes and digging them up? Sort of messes up the process, right? So what do? With potatoes? You trust that a good potato, a good seed has been planted in the ground, and that everything is happening in order to produce that potato. And when the season is right, it'll be time to dig it up. Sometimes that's the silence that we're going through. It's that God has planted something in us like a potato, and it has to grow. And if you keep trying to dig it up, you're going to mess it up. And there's sometimes you just have to wait on it. And you just wait. And you just wait. Now that's cool if all you got to wait is about 6 hours. Right? Yeah. It's okay if all you got to do is wait about 7 days. I mean, it's like, okay, I'm among the elite Christians. I've waited 7 days for potatoes. Yeah? But now if you've been praying for something for about 2 years, if you've been praying for something for about 12, if you've been praying for something your entire life, then faith like potatoes gets difficult. But you still have to maintain that God has planted something in my heart, and it will grow. And then there are these times where God has put something in our heart, and He has not changed His mind. I'll give you, for instance, for years I was on the board of directors for Horizons Christian Academy, and we were praying about the will of God in a particular situation, and we had been praying for months. And we would meet together, and it's like, anybody heard God? No. Okay. And we would go away and pray. And this went on for months. And so one morning I was awakened at about 3 o'clock in the morning. Actually, I know it was 3 o'clock in the morning, because this was a little cool thing I've shared with some of y'all. What God used to do for me is when I was learning to hear the voice of God, He would wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning often. And I would look over at the clock, and if it said, I'm not talking 2:59 or 3:01, y'all, I'm literally talking, I would wake up, I'd look at the clock, and it would be 3 o'clock. And it was almost like, Samuel, here I am, Lord, speak. You know, it was just one of those things. So 3 o'clock comes. I wake up. I look at the clock. It's 3 o'clock. I said, okay. So I go out and I get in my blue chair, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, God, we need a word. We need to know what to do. You haven't spoken. And it was that still, small voice, you know, that one you can confuse with Satan or yourself. And he said, but Kevin, I've already spoken. I'm like, oh, I got it. So I went back to the last time I heard him speak. And I'm like, okay, what was the last thing I heard him speak? And I'm like, okay, that's it. And I went back to the board. I'm like, guess what? This is what God said. The reason he's not speaking is because he hadn't changed his mind. That's a good word. I hope you got that. So there are times where you're like, God, I need a word. God, I need a word. God, I really need a word. And if the word doesn't come, I would say, go back to the last time you heard him speak and see if that word has been carried to completion or not. Because it may be that you got to go back and finish up that word. And I had such peace because I'm like, I'm going back and we're going to do what God told us to do. And I said, God, when you get ready to change this thing, you're going to let me know, right? Yeah, you're going to let me know. So sometimes you have to carry that word until it is completed. Sometimes you got to carry them through the valley. You got to carry a word through the valley. You know them words you get when you're in church and you're singing and you're worshiping and it feels so good and you're floating on air, right? And it's just like, woo, nothing can touch me. And then Monday hits. Oh, man, that thing that was good on Monday has somehow got to be good on Monday. So there, you have to carry sometimes those words that you get on the mountain. You got to carry them through a demon-possessed valley. You're like, God, why would you do that? Because God has to make sure that you have the heart of this thing in you. And that's the greatest way in the world to tell if you've got the heart of God for something or not. It's just let time take its course. Let the demons and the devils and the people you work with and your family get a hold of all of it and see if you can still hold it and carry it in your heart to completion. I remember hearing these stories of these farmers that would have these farms and they would go away during the week and they would leave their kids assignment list. And I've been trying to do a little bit of that with my son, you know. And now again, we're not going to this thing that God goes away because God is present, okay. But sometimes God will just stand there and watch you, won't he? It's like he'll give you something to do and he doesn't leave you, but he just stands there and watches. I've been doing that with my son. He's 13. He needs to, at this point, know my heart for things, how I want things done. I want him to know the things that are around him. I told him the other day, I said, Caden, look around you. You see this stuff? He starts looking around. He's just in the room. He's totally confused. He's like, yeah. I'm like, whose stuff is this? He's like, it's yours. I'm like, yeah, but guess what? It's also yours. That anything that I have when I'm gone, guess where it's going? It's yours. You see, God is raising up sons and daughters. He's not raising up servants. Servants have no ownership. But sons, they ought to look around. Daughters ought to look around and they say, all of this is mine. Wow. And the father says, because I'm raising up sons, I need to know that you carry my heart into this thing. I need to know that you can carry this thing out the way that I would want it carried out. And so the troubles and the trials just let us know if you know how to carry my heart. It lets you know if you know where the resources are. My son has use of everything that is mine. Man, if believers got a hold of that one, that we have every resource is made available to us. Now carry out the assignment with the resources and the heart that God has given us. Then another question we need to ask, is he allowing us to choose? Now I know that some of you think that everything is step by step. You know? You've heard that story of the person, they've been driving and God said, turn right. And they turn left. Go get a jar of milk. I'm not making this up. I heard this one. I think it's amazing. I wish it had happened to me. They go and get a jar of milk, and they follow it to this place where somebody needs milk, and they deliver it. That's amazing, right? That's awesome. But do you know that God doesn't always lead step by step, decision by decision? Now, a child would like that early on, right? Daddy, tell me what to do. 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 Any of y'all ever been a daddy when that happens? You're like, knock it off. Right? It's like, knock it off. You know what I want. Just do it. Don't be afraid. Just go do this thing that I've asked you to do. But a lot of times we act like small children, not mature sons and daughters, and we want moment by moment instructions. Now, there's some cool times when God does that moment by moment thing. And it's like, God, you're just showing off. Yeah. But there are times when God will do this. He'll say, child, choose. What do I mean by that? There are times where you've got an option. You could choose this job or this job. You could choose this house or this house. You could choose, I think it's even possible in relationships. You can choose this person or that person. Now, why would God do that? Because He's raising up mature sons and daughters. That's what He wants, is that He can look at you and say, in that particular area of your life, child, you carry my heart. You carry my DNA. And so, I want you to choose. And you can have this or that. You choose. Either's good with me. Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. You didn't even know that was possible, did you? Yeah, because nobody ever talks about growing up. You know, so we all talk about being kids, and we just think this God's got to lead us step by step, hand to hand, and He will do that. But there are times we say, you know what? You are mature in that area. You know my heart. I want you to choose. What car do you want to drive? Use the principles that I've given you. What house do you want? You choose. You know the principles that I've set out for saving and finances and all those things. You choose the person. You know the kind of person I've told you to be with and not be with. Yeah. I tell you what, if you take that to heart, you won't have to worry about lightning striking every decision you make so that you'll know. You know? So He tells you to choose. We had finished up the first year at Ember. If you don't know, we hadn't been here but since March of last year. And it felt like we had completed all the things that God had told us to do. And so I was like, God, what's next? And I was getting nothing. It was that silence. It's like, God, what's next? Couldn't get it. And so I was at that place where I had picked this day and I said, you know what? I was following my own advice. It's always good when you listen to your own messages, by the way. And I'm like, God, here's the deal. I've been praying and asking for you to tell me what to do next, and I'm not getting anything. So if I have not heard from you today, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to carry out the things that you've already told me to do, the things that I know that you've said do. I'm going to go back and I'm going to work on those things because you may not be interested in doing anything new right now. And so I don't want to make you do something or force something. So I'm going to go back and do what you've asked me to do until you speak. I was ironing a shirt, y'all, no joke. My laundry room's got a little window. And I was ironing my shirt, and for whatever reason, I looked out the window, and it was that still, small voice again. It said, what's in your heart, Kevin? Y'all, it was like somebody unzipped my heart. And I had written things about 12 or 15 years before. I had put them in a journal of things that I thought God would do in a community, of how God would send a church into a single community to establish the presence of God there. And they wouldn't move around, but they would just camp there until they saw the kingdom of God come. Does that sound familiar to anybody of what's going on? Now you know where it came from. It was that at that moment of ironing my clothes where I said, God, I'm not hearing anything. And God said, Kevin, what's in your heart? I didn't even have to go back and get that journal, y'all. I didn't even have to go back and find it, because when He just unzipped my heart, it started pouring out of me like a fountain. And all of a sudden, it made sense. And I'm like, I got it. So it was the combination of potatoes and Kevin carrying this thing in his heart. And God says, what's in your heart, Kevin? That I got to that place. And so there are times where God says, choose, child, because in that area of your life, you're more than able to carry my heart into the world. And then, this is the one that we have to talk about. I don't like talking about it, but sometimes we have to ask ourselves if we're trying to control God. Nobody's ever done that, though, right? So we'll move past this real fast, because there's probably nobody in the room that's ever tried to do that. This is the opposite of mature sons and daughters. This is them whiny little brat kids. We've all been one, you know? It's that point at which you don't care what God wants. You want what you want. And you got to try to figure out a way to move God. I can tell you if you have ever tried to do that, I'll tell you the fruit of that. I bet you are frustrated. Ooh, I bet you frustrated. I bet you tired. Ooh, I bet you mad at God. I know you don't say it because you think he's going to strike you with lightning or something, but deep down you're mad because you're trying to control God and you're frustrated. Anytime you're trying to control God, that's the fruit of it, by the way, if you want to know, you're just going to be frustrated. And so there are times, it looks like this. You try to manipulate God, you know, find a way to move God. You try to earn God's favor. I've heard people say before, you know what, I've lived a good life, I've tried to be good to people, and then they start talking, I can't hear anything else, because you know what it sounds like? I've been good, so God owes me, right? You owe me, God. I'm like, yeah, go on, try to collect on that one. Mm-hmm, go on. Man, sometimes we just want to control God, and he's too big to be controlled. Sometimes we try to bargain with God. God, if you will do this, I will do this. You ever done that? Of course, yeah. So, God, if you, I have never been able to keep that bargain, have you? Man, it sounds like I can do it. You know, it's like, God, you do this, I'll do this. I've had God say, okay, sure, and he does it. And then I go over here and try to do this, and I'm like, oh, I don't have any strength for it. There's no grace for it. Why? Because I'm trying to control God. So we have to maintain this sense of it is not our responsibility to control him, but it's this mindset of a father and a son, where the son and the daughter, they look at the father and they go, Daddy, you always know best. Now, there are times that you let me choose. Thank you for it. But, Daddy, you always know best. And I'm always wanting to check in just to make sure that I'm doing what you want in the time that you want. And I don't control you. And I don't want to. And then the last thing, let's finish up with this thing right here. This last question is, are you hosting his presence? Now, what does that mean? It means that here's what's going to happen in your life. You're going to fall more and more in love with God. As you walk with him, you're going to want more and more of him. He's going to grow sweeter and sweeter as you get to know him, because he's beautiful and he's awesome and he's powerful and he calls me his own. And the words that he speaks are life. They're better than most anything I can come up with. And you just get hungry for it. And hunger is a good thing, because there'll be times where you're like, I need that living word. Everything feels a little bit stale right now. You ever had that before? Yeah. It's like everything just feels a little bit stale right now. I need something, that fresh thing, God, that you speak over my life, that I read from the word, and it comes alive. And what is happening, if that is happening in you, and if it's not, that's where you're headed by the grace of God. Is that you're becoming a person who wants to host the very presence of God in their life. Now, I read you John 14 because I want you to know that the Spirit of God is always in you. But there are these opportunities that we have for the Spirit of God just to rest upon us. Pastor Bill Johnson, that I refer to sometimes, he says, the Spirit of God lives in us for our sake, but he comes upon us for the sake of others. And there's this cool thing that happens in the life of a believer. You may not know it right now if you're just early in this walk, but you look, and as a whole, you look at life and you go, it's good with me. It's good. Well, could you guys say amen to that? That you just get to a place where you've trusted God and God has been faithful, and his faithfulness just overtakes you. And you go, it's good with me. There's situations and there's circumstances, and there'll be situations that come and go and all that, but it's good with me. God's got me. And there's just this sense that you, just like that old song, you can sing, it's well with me. But your desire is to see God move. It's to see God manifest in situations and circumstances. And a lot of people have used this before. It's as though the Spirit of God is like a dove that descends upon your shoulder. And you know, a dove, you kind of have to be careful with a dove, right? I like to compare it to a flame. You know, as though the Spirit is a flame. And when you see that, you just want to take care of it. We don't value flame as much as we probably should. You ever watch those reality shows when they throw them out in the desert and woods and all that? What's the first thing they want to do? Hook up their color television, right? No, he's like, we got to get some fire. fire. Why? Because we're going to eat, we need some fire. Yeah? If we're going to purify this water, we got to have some fire. If we're going to stay warm tonight, we got to have this fire. If we're going to see, we're going to have this fire. And there's an importance about it. And I love to watch it when the little ember inside ignites into a fire. How they get all excited. You know that? They're like, ooh! You know, they're like, ooh, ooh, don't do anything with it. You know, ooh, ooh, and then they just kind of just start to blow. You know, oh, come on, please. You know, and then it starts and like, oh, and then there's this celebration and all, you know? Yeah. That's what I want for your life as a believer. The Holy Spirit is in you, but I want you to carry it as though it's precious, that it's more precious than anything else. It's more precious than just ordinary living. It's more important than 9 to 5. It's more important than the hobbies that we have. It's more important than anything. And we carry it just like a flame, and we're like, okay, I want to make sure I've got it in mind in everything that I do. If I had a candle right now, I'd be walking. I wouldn't walk too fast, right? Because I wouldn't want to blow it out. I'd watch where I was speaking because I wouldn't want to breathe on it too hard and blow it out. And it's not that God is temperamental. It's more of this thing of what's important to you. You see that? Is He important to you that you would carry Him? You'd carry His presence with such value and not so flippantly. You know? I think sometimes we take Him for granted and we carry Him flippantly. But that's not what we're going for. What we're going for is that person who will just walk. And then there are times where you're in a room like this and you just see the Holy Spirit manifest on situations or on people. We were praying Sunday night where we had communion. And appreciate you guys bringing people like you did. And Chris Bender walked up to me and said, I think God wants to move in her. I'm like, yep, I already saw it. Let's go. You know, and it's because as you begin to host His presence, you can even look out on other people and see what God is doing in their life. And you're like, oh, there He is. He wants to let her know something. Oh, He's got something to say to this person. And you begin to just see Him. Why? Because He's valuable to you. And so are we hosting His presence? So, all of us to just be hungry, afresh and anew for the voice of God and to be able to discern what God is doing in our situations. And so I want to go back and I want us to know that one, silence is not absence. Do you remember that? That was the first thing I said. Silence is not absence. And then you can ask these questions as you're moving through these times. And the first one is, am I carrying? Do I have to carry a word to completion? Is that where I'm at in life? Is He allowing me to choose? Has He not spoken because He trusts me in this situation? Am I trying to control Him? And has He reached this place in my life where all I want is His presence? And so I'm carrying Him and I'm watching to see what is He up to. And I'm working with Him. And I pray that if you will take those steps, that we will know that God is always moving in our life. That He's always growing potatoes, often just below the surface, but that He's always doing something. So we got this song. I want you to just let God minister to you. Then we're going to end the service. And if you need any extra attention, if you'd like to start a relationship with Jesus Christ, that'll be your opportunity. I want some of you guys from the church just to hang around and be available that God would give us the opportunity to minister. If anybody needs prayer for healing, I want you to come up. We're going to pray for you. If anybody needs help, you just haven't heard the voice of God. We want to help you with that today. Yeah, so I hope you know that what I gave you today is not a formula, but it's an invitation into a lifestyle, an invitation to a relationship with your God and your Father. So I want you to go and absolutely fall in love and remain in love with the voice of God in our life that gives us light and life. So you're dismissed. I hope I'll see everybody back next Sunday. If you need anything, any kind of ministry at all, we're going to hang around. Come down here and let us minister this morning. God bless you. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.